Hanukkah invariably falls out of the course of Miketz. And as we transition from Vayeshev to Miketz, the question is, what's the meaning of that connection? So there are a number of suggestions that are clever. I want to spend the next couple of minutes talking about a connection that cuts pretty deeply into the significance of Hanukkah. I'm trying to figure out, what's the avodah of Hanukkah? How am I supposed to grow? We've spoken in the past about the comments of the Vutner, the famous Shiva of Berlin. A Jew wants to come out of the Yantif changed. A Jew wants to come out of the Yantif saying, not Nach Yantif Havet, but Nach Yantif Haran. Not next week saying that was a nice experience, and it came, Hanukkah came and went, but Hanukkah went through me. Hanukkah somehow changed me. The days march on the calendar, but the Hanukkah was absorbed. And the way that's going to happen, the way I become a deeper, more sophisticated Oved Hashem, over the course of the Yom Tov, is one of the key ingredients is thinking deeply about the ideas behind the dinim of the Yom Tov. I'm thinking deeply about the ideas behind the stories and the narrative of the Yom Tov. So the very last pasuk of Vayeshev, not much the last pasuk of Vayeshev, what leads us to Miketz, what begins the 2 year gap between Vayeshev and Miketz is the last word, Vayishkachei. Right? Famous Rashi, everyone knows Rashi. Right? Zocher Sarabash was Yosef Vayishkachei. Yosef had asked the butler, the royal butler, please remember me. And he gets out and totally forgets about Yosef.
Why?
Oh, so what does Rashi say? Rashi says, that was an onesh. He stays in an extra 2 years, as the first pasuk in Miketz tells us, Miketz Shemasam Yamin, because of his inappropriate request to the Sar Mashkin. How do you say the Hizkar? How did he ask the Sar Mashkin to help him out? How did he ask the Sar Mashkin to remember him? Rashi says, Talibo Yosef, Bitchono Lezachro, he was relying on the Sar Mashkin to have his back. So that's a huzkak lios asur shtei shanim. That's why he was punished with an additional 2 years in prison. The Nehemar, quote a pasuk, Medrash quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. Asher yegevah shusam Hashem miftav v'lo ponir avim. Lucky is the man who, fortunate is the man who relies on Kadosh Baruch Hu and isn't turning to the aristocracy. Isn't turning to the nobleman. It sounds like Yosef apparently is the antithesis of that pasuk. Yosef is the one who was not Boterach, who instead was Pona El Rehavim. See, he was Nanash. That's a very, very familiar Rashi. If you think about it, though, it's also very, very strange Rashi. No? You're in a situation, and someone who can help you, so you're trying to take care of yourself. Isn't that what we call, not a lack of becoming? Do you mean I should cross the street with my eyes closed? You mean I should not go to work? I said, see, did a shadlos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to rely, to have bitachon, and also to seek to take care of ourselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help the people who take care of themselves. That's always the case. So what's wrong with Yosef saying to Sarah Mashkin, keep me in mind, I did him a favor. Now he's leaving, he's going to be in a position of power. I've been stuck in prison for years and years. And I say, would you please help me? I gave you the great news that you're going to be leaving. When you see that's right, why don't you return the favor and help me out of here as well? Seems like a very reasonable hashavas. That's a famous Rashi, but what does it mean? What does it mean? The Chazon Ish is famous for his big, big, heavy, fat svarim on Kimat Kol Torah Kula. Yeah, usually publishes a 7-volume set on Archaim, Yeridea, Ebenezer, Chosh Mishpat, Zroim, Kachim, Taras. Basically, everything. All the entire span of Lamdas and Halacha of Shas is there, between organized either according to Masechta or according to Tur and Shulchan Aruch. There are here and there individual prakim, perhaps they don't make their showing, but the Chazon Ish has what to say with every single Masechta and Shas. It's really remarkable. That 7-volume set is a stunning treatment of halachic halachic in the broader sense. Lamdus halacha. At the very end of the volume on Taurus, which is usually not the most well-used volume, the very end of the volume on Taurus, there are a couple of pages of the Chazon Ish on different practical topics in Machshava. So originally it was just published in the back of Taurus, and if you happen to know where to look, you would find that hidden gem. And then after a couple of years, someone decided to republish those pages as a separate, standalone, skinny volume, exactly Emunah B'Tachon. 5.5 prakim, penned by the Chazon Ish on different practical, beautiful and practical topics of Machshava. 5.5 prakim because at the end of what we have, it sort of leaves off in the middle of Perek Vav and says, you know, the rest has been lost. So we get to have 5.5 prakim of the Chazon Ish's writings. It's called the Emunah B'Tachon because the first parak is by Emunah, the second parak is about B'Tachon, he goes on to talk about other issues, the interplay of Halacha and Musar, a lot of fascinating, really fascinating, penetrating writing. The shortest parak is parak Beis. That's the parak about B'Tachon. And it's worth learning even on its own. Maybe we'll have the chance later, second semester, to actually look inside. He closes with this question. It closes that short parak with a question of, what was wrong? We're doing Shabbos. That's a good thing. That's what we expect. That's what we encourage. He opens with the following point. He says, people make a mistake. He says, there's this urban legend that goes around in firm circles about B'Tachon. And what's that urban legend? What's the popular misconception? He says, people have this idea that, B'Tachon means you should believe that everything is going to work out okay. Everything's going to work out the way you expect it to work out. Right? Bobby will say, have B'Tachon that you'll pass the test. Have B'Tachon that you'll get the job. Have B'Tachon the surgery will go well. And people have this notion often that it's like a lack of B'Tachon if you're not convinced that things will turn out the way you want them to. Have B'Tachon that X, Y, Z will happen. Right? Sound familiar? We've heard this before? Happy talking about that. But the Chazon Ish says, can you just stop and think about that for a moment? Is that true? Do things always work out the way you expect them to? No. You always get the job you're hoping for? No. You always get to date the girl you're hoping to? No. You always get into the yeshiva, the program you're hoping to get into? No. Is the surgery always successful? No. Does the job always last? No. So he says, what's that? You're having B'Tachon that these things will happen. They don't always happen. Does that mean your B'Tachon is false? And then he says, and why should that be true? Are you a nubby? Did God tell you? You're going to get that job interview is going to be successful. You're going to get the job you're hoping to get? I can only speak for myself. I'm not a nubby. You're probably not either. Yet. So he says, why would we assume, say it's such a popular idea, but why would we assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make things happen the way we want them, we expect them to happen? It's a very popular idea. You have to have B'Tachon that X will happen. But why? Chazon Ish says, that's a misconception. He says, there is something called B'Tachon. He says, real B'Tachon is far more beautiful and far more profound and true. As opposed to this. So B'Tachon doesn't mean that I'm convinced that what I expect to happen will happen. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Empirically, we see things don't always work out the way I want them to, and there's no reason to assume that I'm not God, I don't run the world. There's no reason to assume that things should work out the way I want them to. Because what B'Tachon does mean is that we believe that the life is not random, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was involved in managing the story, managing the system, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to happen will happen. That is B'Tachon. That coupled with an understanding, as the Gemara reminds us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has our long-term best interests in mind, B'Tachon can give me a strong sense of security and a deep sense of calm. I'm not sure what's going to happen. Chazon Ish, over the course of that parak, talks about 4 or 5 or 6 different nafkaminas and ways in which real B'Tachon will impact me. Spiritually, practically, emotionally. But if I believe, it's actually a lot more reassuring As opposed to whatever I want to happen is going to happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who sees the full picture, I don't see, whatever he, and has my best interest, long-term best interest in mind, more than I possibly could have for myself. He's running the show. Wow. That's actually, if you stop to think about it, not shallowly, but thoughtfully, that's actually far more reassuring. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ran the show, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has my back, things don't always make sense in the short run, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has my long-term best interest in mind. And he's overseeing the unfolding of the universe and the story of the universe. And the story of the universe, the story of Am Yisrael, and the story of me. Wow. That's actually, Chazaner says, if you think about it, that's a much more mature and rational and more accurate way of looking at it. And it's actually, wow, that's bizarre. And that, as he develops over the course of that brief little parrot phase, he says, Bitachon, he thinks, is emuna applied. Emuna is the abstract belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and different facts we believe in. And Bitachon is when you live that belief. It's not just in my head, but it's in my kishkas. I'm actually implementing, I'm acting based on my beliefs. That's Bitachon. And as I mentioned before, he said it's going to play out in so many ways. It's going to play in the way I react to things emotionally. It's going to play in the way I make decisions. And then he says, one of the different ways in which Bitachon plays out is right here. One of the ways in which practically an absorbed, instilled belief that Kadosh Baruch Hu is actually running the world, that we have the privilege of being junior partners with Kadosh Baruch Hu in our own destiny, and he is the senior partner in our own destiny, and efforts are on us and results are on him. So one of the ways in which that plays out, Chazanish writes, is it will impact which hashtaglos I do and how I do it. Why? Chazanish said, well, if you believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the show, so efforts are on us, but the Kadosh Baruch Hu dictated that. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, the vision is not that people are just passive lumps on a log and everything gets done. What Kadosh Baruch Hu wants is to be active and creating our own Hazeh here in Olam Haba. The Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be active in guiding and leading and making our lives happen with an awareness that ultimately life is not random, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. So he says, so the sort of hishtaglus that makes sense is the sort of hishtaglus suggests is a hishtaglus that's prudent. Hishtaglus that's reasonable. What are the things that reasonably would work to solve whatever the problem is, whatever the situation is? What would a reasonable person do? Okay, as opposed to what? As opposed to when I'm in panic mode. If I feel like things are just falling apart and I don't know, everything's spinning out of control, so people often go into panic mode, and then it's just do whatever, grasp at straws. Now you imagine literally grasping at straws. The metaphor is you have a person who is drowning. So if you grab a life jacket, if you grab a life ring, if you grab a float, grab a boat, grab a piece of wood, those are things that b'derech hateva are likely to save you. But if there's straw floating on the surface of the water and I'm grabbing at straws, that's not going to help me. There's no reason why that would help. But if I'm just in panic mode and everything's just falling apart, I'll just do whatever. Even though it doesn't make sense, because I need to do something. Well, Chazanish points out, panic is a normal human reaction, but it's not a good one, and it's not a bitachon-based one either. Because to the extent that I have a sense that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the show, I might be scared. I don't know what's coming next. I'm scared, but I'm not in a situation of despair. It's not panic. I'm not sure what's happening. It may be fun, it may be painful, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. There's going to be a certain sense of calm. And I should inject, because I said early on, this is not a binary yes or no. It's not like either I have or I don't have. I can have more emunah, less emunah, more bitachon, less bitachon. The more bitachon I have, the more there'll be a sense of calm. Oh. And then he said, and now I understand
The last Rashi in Vayesha says, and he points out, if you look in the Medrash that Rashi is quoting, it's actually surprising. The way Rashi quotes, he just quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, the 40th paragraph of Tehillim, Asher Ha'ish, Asher Ha'gever, excuse me, Asher Som Hashem Miftacho, V'lo Pan El Rahman. Fortune is the person who relies on the Kadosh Baruch Hu and doesn't turn to the nobles. And up, Yosef turned to the Rahman. It sounds like that pasuk is meant to be the opposite of Yosef. Here's the funny thing, though. Here's the funny thing. The Medrash actually says, look at the Medrash inside, the full version. Ashrei ha'gever sharsam Hashem b'tacho ze Yosef. The person who is boteach, that's Yosef. That's interesting. V'lo pana l'rahavim. Such a person would not turn to Rahavim. The Medrash says, because Yosef did turn to the Rahavim, so that's why he was nanash. So right now, this is already, it's not, we're not saying that Yosef was like the opposite of b'tachon. Yosef had plenty of b'tachon. He's a paragon of b'tachon, but apparently not enough. Remember, Yosef is the man who talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu to non-Jews more than, certainly more than anyone else in Chumash, perhaps more than anyone else anywhere in Tanakh. Again and again, with incredible pride. Right, we hear it from Yonah as well, but to hear him say again and again, I have Yiras Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in charge, he has no problem saying it to Potiphar, he has no problem saying it to Paro. Elokim, Paro is trying to schmaltz him up. Yeah, I heard you're the man. I said, no, it's not me, it's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's extraordinary anava and extraordinary emunah b'tachon. No, it's all wrong. Again and again, Yosef is totally comfortable talking about his emunah. This is not a man with no emunah b'tachon. The Medrash says, no, Yosef is a shining example of b'tachon, but here he messed up. He's a paradigm of Samash and b'tachon, but he shouldn't have turned to Rabbi. Why not? Says the Chazon Ish, I'll tell you why not. This is because, again, this Chazon Ish makes a certain factual assumption. He says, what are the chances that this politician is going to remember you when he no longer needs you? Maybe different people have different assessments, but the Chazon Ish assumes, here's a politician, a national politician, who you've had the chance to rub shoulders with in prison, but he's leaving, and he ain't coming back. So Chazon Ish says, the Medrash is saying, look, Yosef turns to him in that moment and says, have my back, you pull me out with you. Chazon Ish says, what are the chances it's going to work? Chazon Ish thinks, one could dispute the Chazon Ish's assumption. Chazon Ish thinks, next is here. What are the chances of getting over? And in fact, for the next 2 years, nothing. Until the Tsar Mashkin needed him, and all of a sudden he mentions Yosef. Not because of the Vehiz Kartani. It didn't work. So the Chazon Ish says, that was an example of grasping at straws. That was an example. Yosef was, in that moment, Yosef started to panic. Here's my one connection. Here's my one protection. Now he's leaving. I better do something. What was the point? Is that actually going to work? Chazon Ish suggests, no. If you would think about it rationally, that's no way that's going to help. So that was a little gap in B'tachon. That was a gap in recognizing that Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. This is a beautiful idea, and again, as I said, the Chazon Ish, of course, that parent developed a number of other practical applications of this a correct understanding of B'tachon. So you might say, this is a very beautiful, very pretty Chazon Ish. What does that have to do with the end of Kislev, the beginning of Tevet? What does that have to do with Hanukkah? What do you say? What does it not have to do with Hanukkah? Yeah? The oil, yeah.
Okay, good.
The war. What about it? Right? In both we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu at work. You're probably familiar with the Kasha that the Pnei Yeshua asks, and the Maharal asks in his Sefer Ner Mitzvah. Ner Mitzvah is on the subject of the story of the Chanukah. They ask, and I think we may have discussed this a little bit, I think I had a chance to discuss it with some of you, what's the point of the two Nisim of Chanukah? two nisim of Chanukah, one of which we talk about, and the nisim of Chanukah we talk about, Al Nisim. Nisim Hashem, as the Gemara talks about, Chavava, Beit HaMasechet Shabbos, and my Chanukah. So, the Yeshua and the Maral famously asked, who needed any of it? Nisim of Chanukah, we understand. Nisim of Chanukah was necessary. Because Baruch Hu didn't do nisim in order to take to have our back. The Jewish people were stuck. They weren't able to keep mitzvahs. They were oppressed by the Yavanim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. As the Rambam both say in several places. Rambam writes it several times in the Pirushal Torah and some of the other writings I believe as well. Rambam talks about both in the Morning Lukim and the Geras Tiras HaNesim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do any nesim he wants to, but we see looking around the world that he chooses generally not to do nesim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose, by design, to have a designed world, to have a rhythmic pattern universe that generally follows the principles of science that he set up. And once in a long while, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to do nes, typically to solve a problem. To save an individual, to save a tzibur, to save Klal Yisrael. So nes l'machama fits. Klal Yisrael needed Yeshua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. Aber, what's going to be? How do you understand nes Hashemen? What was the point of nes Hashemen? You can ask the question one or two ways. You could say, as a London, you could say, who needed nes Hashemen? Tumo Hutcher B'tzibur. There's a lady who talks about this as well. Who needed Tumo Hutcher B'tzibur? So, I'd love to sign the Torah. If you don't have the Torah, they couldn't use Tamei oil. They had oil, it just was Tamei. So, after one day, the Torah, you use the Torah oil first, obviously. After one day, it gets used up. So then the din is use Tamei oil. What's wrong? Oh, that specific version of the question, some answer, I think there's a lady talks about as well, maybe Hutomot or Batsibur, but not the first time. The Mechanech and Numenorah, you need to do things properly. There's a lot to be said about that. But there's a larger question that, forget about the technicalities of Hutomot or Batsibur. Let's say there was no, you couldn't use the Tamei oil. Let's say there was no other oil. So, you have a one day's worth of oil, so you have a mitzvah, Lachas HaMenorah, so Chafei Kislev, or Chavav Kislev, whenever it was that they lit, for the first time. They lit the day's worth, the night's worth of oil, and it goes out when it's done. And the next night, we don't have oil, so we don't light. And in a week from now, we'll be ready with fresh oil. Since when do we find that Kadosh Baruch Hu does nisim just enable me to do a mitzvah? It's surprising. Where's the tzorah? I want to talk about a patre. We came, we did our best. We came to the mitzvah. We found all the oil we could find. We're ready working on getting more oil. When that oil runs out, so we'll wait. And he'll bring probably macro carbons as well. I'd love to say, wait, what was the point? What was the problem being solved by the Nes Hashem? What was the problem being solved by the Nes Hashem? Yeah, what are you saying?
Maybe it was also part of the Yeshua, that the Jews needed to see something more tangible.
Oh. So the Nes is very good. So then Rabbi Yeshua says along these lines, and the Maral Mamash says, what do you say? Maral says in their mitzvah, he says, we need the main Nes is the Nes of Mohammed. He says, clearly the main nes of Chanukah, nes of Chanukah. It was amazing. It was gorgeous. It was glorious. Some will look at this nes of Chanukah and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and others will look at the nes of Chanukah and see military coincidence. Just like you can pick up 6 days of war and read about 1967. And you can look at that with the eyes of a mammon and say HaKadosh Baruch Hu was carrying us through that whole time. Or you can look at it and say, that's pretty cool. Worked out well. Coincidentally, we happened to, this worked out, and that worked out, and that worked out, and all the Egyptian planes just happened to be grounded when the Israelis came by and knocked out the entire airstrip, and then just happened to work out in the Golan Heights, and just happened. And indeed, some people looked at that and said, Yad Hashem. Other people looked at it and said, stochastic chance. So in 1967, HaKadosh Baruch Hu left it as is, and we have to figure out how to look at it. But 2,500 years ago, at the time of the Nes HaMelchamah of the Chashmonaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a second Nes, a small Nes HaShemen. And what was the purpose? As Moshe said, it was to demonstrate, the way the Maral formulates it, it was to demonstrate, I'm the one who just did that Nes HaMelchamah. Nes HaMelchamah was glorious. Nes HaMelchamah was the main point. It solved the problem. It was a Nes Nisgal. You could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or you could choose to not see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Nes Hashem was a Nes Nigla. It was just an absolute suspension of science. chemistry stopped working for a few days in the Beis HaMikdash. That's incontrovertibly Yad Hashem. It's like, maybe, I don't think Maharal gives this mashal, but that you have this gorgeous painting. If you look in the bottom right corner, there might be a signature of the artist. Then you know who painted the painting. So the Neis HaMelcham was the gorgeous painting. The Neis HaShem was the divine signature. Kadosh Baruch Hu was signing off, by the way, that Neis HaMelcham, that was me. And for the Maharal, that's a main part of the, you said, you guys mentioned before, Neis HaShem and Neis HaMelcham, you're seeing that Kadosh Baruch Hu at work. And as Ramban writes in the end of Parshas Bo, we have a chance to see this when Parshas Bo rolls around. One of the most famous Rambans in all of the Pirush Al Torah, the last paragraph in Parshas Bo, the end of his treatment of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he says, the Makkos are also like this. He says, what was the point? What was the purpose of the Makkos? Esther Makkos. What was the purpose of the Makkos? Usually you would assume to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Right? No? Everyone agree to that? You sure? The purpose of 10 Makkos is to get the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim? Ramban says, it didn't work very well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kali Yachal. Right? It took him. He was 1 for 10. He was batting 100. It took him 10 tries, 9 strikes, before he got the Jewish people out. That's pretty surprising. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to get the Jewish people out, take them out. You want to induce power to let them go? Makkos Bechoros. And if the goal of the Makkos was to extract the Jewish people from Mitzrayim, it was not a resounding success. It took 10 tries to get it right. Rabban says, what's going on? Again, you're looking with a more mature eye. He says, number two, look in the Pesukim of Chumash. And you'll see there are phrases strewn throughout Va'era and Vo that we tend to ignore because we're just sort of, whatever. But it's not whatever. Every word in the Torah is there for a reason. You keep having these Laman phrases. Laman, I think we were talking, Thomas talked about this last week. Laman Saper Shemi, Laman Shisio Sazai Eladuo, Laman to Saper. Throughout the Makkos, Hashem keeps saying, I'm going to give this Makkos Laman so that you will notice this Ikar Namuna. So that you will teach that Ikar Namuna. The goal of the Makkos was not just to extract the Jewish people. Overall, Hashem wanted to accomplish that as well. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give part of the Bechir Chav just to let them out of his own. But a major objective of the Makkos was educational. It was like the Neis HaShem to teach about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Ban goes on to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to do the Nisim all the time. That's why he did a whole constellation of Nisim at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, before and after. And then we have all these mitzvahs to keep the memory of Yetzias Mitzrayim alive, so that we'll remember the emuna education that we got at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rabban says very clearly, there are nisim, and he says this elsewhere as well, there are nisim that are meant to solve problems, and there are nisim that are meant to educate and to teach, and to open our eyes to the existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Neis HaMelcham, Neis HaShem, Neis HaMelcham was meant to solve a problem, to provide Yeshua, Neis HaShem was meant to educate, meant to open our eyes to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Rabban says, the goal is Neis HaMelcham style. The goal is the higher level of the Eved Hashem is when you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everyday life. Not just to be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Nisim Gluyim, in the rare razzle-dazzle moments. That's step one. That gets you to the real level of an Eved Hashem, which is being able to see and live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the everyday life. To feel the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have the eyes, a nine leros, to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the ins and outs of life when it's not so razzle-dazzle. Rabban says, that's the real Mandraka. That's what he writes at the end of Parshas Bo. And that's Mamish, the end of Hanukkah. Yosef has everything to do with Hanukkah. The Tachan has everything to do with Hanukkah, because arguably the main thrust of the Avodah, what am I supposed to work on over the course of a week plus of looking in the Neres Hanukkah, is to think about this idea. To recognize that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more obvious in my life, but He's always present. So I can take the moments when He's more obvious, they're there to help me get to the next level where I can notice Him always. And I'll close
with the following mashal that I believe the Rambam gives in the Morat. I had the opportunity to hear this many, many years ago from Stav at my dining room table, probably a decade and a half ago. And the Rambam writes the following. It's a dark and stormy night. It wasn't always a dark and stormy night. A few hours ago, it was afternoon. It was light out. And you were hiking. And one of the mistakes you don't make twice is to not keep track of time and shkia when you're hiking. If you made that mistake once, you know what I mean. You don't make that mistake again. You're hiking, and then you sort of had to miscalculate how long it would take you. You weren't keeping track of how long your breaks were. And then it starts to get dark. It can be a little spooky when you realize that you still have a couple miles to go. And once you realize it's starting to get dark, hopefully you have headlamps. You'll be able to see where you're going. If you don't have headlamps, that's, you know, ain't no, there are no streetlights in the wilderness. And then it's worse. Not only does it get dark, and you're starting to lose track, you can't see the trail blazes, and you're starting to lose track even which way you're pointing, which way you're going. And then you feel, you keep hiking, and you feel like I was just here 20 minutes ago, am I going in circles, am I going backwards? And then, not only is it dark, but it starts to rain. In the distance, you hear thunder. And that's mamash pachad. To be stuck in a forest, when the lightning is coming down, that's sakanas nefashos. And there's a bolt of lightning. If you're still safe, Rambam points out the following. If you're with me in that moment, that bolt of lightning, for if you've ever been outside during a thunderstorm, like a split second, laila kayom yar, everything is like light as day for a fraction, literally a fraction of a second. Rambam says in that fraction of a second, when there's that bolt of lightning, you're not out of the forest by the time the light is gone. But in that fraction of a second, you will see exactly where you are, where you're pointing, which way you have to go, and you can spend the next 20 minutes successfully, effectively hiking out of the forest with the ha'ara of that split second of lightning. You don't live your entire life in a lightning bolt, but a lightning bolt can give you the guidance to live the rest of your life. There are moments like that, and that's the makas of the makas of the nisim yitzias Mitzrayim, and that was, as Maharal says, that was the Neis Hashem. It was meant to give a ha'ara to what had happened previously. Jews, if you try and make sense of what happened over the last couple of months and years of the military struggle against the Yavanim, which was blessed with such extraordinary success, that small Neis Hashem and the Beis HaMikdash for a week, that was the ha'ara that would just have what you just saw happen the last couple of months and years. That was all Yad Hashem. And in the large, that's what Hanukkah is meant to do for us. It's an opportunity for us. Every yontif has its segula. Every yontif has its spiritual climate. What aspects of Olas Hashem are particularly accessible during this period of time? And Hanukkah is a yontif of Golos. Hanukkah is a yontif that is the only yontif we have that takes place after the end of Tkufas HaNevuah. And that's because Hanukkah is meant to work on this. The focus of Hanukkah is how to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's not obvious. How to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's not doing Yisroel. How to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's not speaking to Moshe or to Malachi or to anyone in between. That Hanukkah, in a sense, is our yontif more than almost any other. Purim as well shares a lot of this, a lot of the same themes of the having, developing the eyes to notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he is in obvious. And with Hanukkah specifically, it's a focus on learning to seize the moments of clarity, learning to seize those lightning bolts and using them. Not just that was a great moment, but to use moments of ha'ara, to use moments of more illumination, use moments of more awareness about the devotion, and figuring out how to keep hiking based on that ha'ara, to grow in emunah, even just to have that goal of being a Jew is going to grow in the Emunah. Rav Sadia Gaon, one of the first figures, La'achar Chasimus HaTalmud, to write a sefer about Emunah the Deus, it said that he did tshuva every day for the degree of Emunah he had the day before. He was definitely a man,
Very much so.
We have several hundred pages to prove it.
Wasn't that he wasn't a mom the day before, but every day as he grew in his emunah, he looked back and he goes, compared to I am today, yesterday was chaloshes. Yesterday was weak compared to the clarity I have now. And he knew that tomorrow he would look back at today. Emunah isn't the yes or no. There's a spectrum, and you can grow and you can deepen. As you grow and mature physically, emotionally, intellectually, you can grow spiritually. And that's one of the main messages of Hanukkah. I think that's one of the main, and I said before, there are many clever connections between Vayeshev and Miketz on the one hand, and Hanukkah on the other hand. But in terms of what cuts deeply, Vayeshev and Miketz are all about going into Galus. All about living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu behest upon him. And the first Jew who's mamish, the first Jew who's in the first national Galus, Yaakovim has been in Galus before, Avraham went in Galus a little bit, but the first Jew to be in the first national Galus Mitzrayim, Yosef is a shining example of talking about HaKadosh, living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he's very, very far from what would make it easy, and that is very much the goal of HaKadosh, which talks to Yisrochem. Of the course of these weeks, to think about Emunah, to work on Emunah, and the mitzvah will have other opportunities to work on Emunah as a tzibur, and this should be a private personal avodah of each of us over the course of Hanukkah, and it should give us the wheels, it should give us momentum to continue to grow going forward. These are, I think, a mature, substantive insight into the machshava of Hanukkah that can really build us as Abdi Hashem of the coming week.